This one goes out to the Inebriati, Original 109, Red Patch Boys, Tribal Rhythm Nation, Kings in the North, U-Sector. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Good times, good times.
I think it's huge for the club, it's huge for the city and the fans, and we have to go in and prove that it means just as much to us as it does to everybody part of this organization.
You know, I think the fact that we're at home is going to help a huge bunch for us, and I think, you know, it's everything to play for come Wednesday night.
It's good for us right now because we have a lot of guys on this team that know what it means to play in the playoffs and know what it means to play at this time of the year, which is so important.
When you get into these one-off games, it just becomes total survival mode.
We got to go out and do the business, so it's exciting. This is the part of year that we look forward to.
It's a sea of red. This is TFC Pitchside with Dan Riccio and Thomas Michalakos.
Happy Monday. It's time for the MLS playoffs in Toronto. You've been waiting 10 years to hear that. And now you finally get to hear it and get to see it Wednesday night against the Philadelphia Union. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Thomas, I guess this is what we've waited for all season long.
Well, yeah, more than that, you fans out there of TFC have more than a soccer game to watch on Wednesday. What else is going on?
Oh, you get to see the Trues. You get a big march to the match from Brazenhead.
So they're really pulling out all the stops.
Oh, they're pulling out all the stops.
A little bit too early to parade
the
around.
The supporter groups have their own places that they march to the match from.
And that's their thing to do, and they do that every game.
Now you're going to ask everyone else to march to the match from Brazenhead. You're going to have two separate marches to the match. Budweiser's are going to be $5 outside the stadium there at the Budweiser King patio. So, I mean, it's good times. Like, it's good times. You get cheap beers, relatively.
You know,
probably cheaper there than they are at Brazenhead, right?
It's cheaper there than they are at your house, but that's about it. Because when you get a $5 beer, I don't care what the event is. Majority of people are going to flock to it.
Exactly. So, TFC, Philadelphia Union, 7:30, Wednesday night, BMO Field, single elimination playoff game. And yes, there are plenty of festivities going down.
Do you like that, though, that it's a single elimination game?
No, it sucks. It's stupid. You play all these games throughout the year, and then you get 3 days rest?
To play
two full days rest.
To play a one and
done. You get a Monday and a Tuesday, and you play Wednesday night to play a one-game elimination playoff.
See, that's the North American thing about this league, because football, how it's called in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Regardless, doesn't matter. They don't look at standings. They don't look at this. They don't look at that. When you're going to play in a knockout round format, it's always one home and one away.
Well, not the FA Cup.
That's a cup. That's the FA Cup. I'm talking about like Champions League and this and that. The FA Cup, first of all, you hate. So this is another reason why you hate this type of format. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. I just find it that soccer is a leg way of playing. Like first leg, second leg, and that's how it should be. You shouldn't waver from
but
that.
This is how it's set up. It does, at the end of the day, for a casual fan, just like the MLB wildcard game, it does provide...
Well, that was put in place later on.
Finality is to it. And even NFL playoffs, the one game certainly works well for them. March Madness, I mean... Single elimination playoff, say what you want. At the end of the day, it is very exciting for a neutral, casual fan. I think it sucks over the course of 34 games to have the one. But we can't dwell on this.
No, we shouldn't dwell on this. I'm just saying it just makes more sense to make more money with another game.
Yes. At DanRachel 590, at UnfitRef is where you can get us. So we do have a lot lined up on the show. And it is... going to be a lot about the playoff game and not so much about the 3-2 win over Chicago on Sunday, which had its good and its bad for sure, much like the last month of TFC's season has had. But we'll talk to Kevin Kincaid of the Philly Voice. He's going to tee up everything from a Philly perspective for us. And we're also going to give you some tickets. Tickets to the playoff game on Wednesday at BMO Field. We do have a pair. We'll tell you how you can win them, but you'll have to listen to the entire show and listen intently at that. So, glad you're tuned in now. Not just listening in one ear and going out the other.
Hopefully we're not talking to just ourselves here.
But let's talk about this, Thomas, and where they are going into the playoffs. And we're going to hear from some of the players, and well, not so much the players, but we're going to hear from GM Tim Bezbachenko and also Greg Vanney, who were at the Kia training ground. They had a playoff media day today, trotted out everybody.
Was that fun for
President
you, Dan?
Bill Manning was there. Seba spoke. We waited for Michael Bradley, as we always do. Josie Altidore spoke.
Ooh, as we always do.
Yeah.
You get that a lot? Does that happen a lot?
No comment.
No. Okay. Because the way you said that, you had like a little...
Put into the dark side.
You had a little smile when you said that.
I don't want to be put into the doghouse.
No, be put into the doghouse, because it'll just make for great radio.
I do like Bradley. And I've been a big defender of his on the show. And we do actually have a tidbit about Bradley that we want to talk about. And second segment, we'll also talk about some stuff around the league and hear from Carl Robinson, because I thought it was pretty funny something he said after the Whitecaps' big win over Portland this weekend, which meant nothing. But TFC get the 3-2 win over Chicago. And yes, it's good. Javinko's back, scores a goal from the penalty spot. Fantastic assist on the Justin Morrow goal, who was TFC's third highest scorer this season. And finally, what I think is not great is the defense continues to struggle. And if you are looking for a negative going into this postseason, it is the play of the defense more than anything else.
Yeah, most of all in transition, you see in the first goal that Chicago scores, the way they get caught, they lose the ball. That happens from time to time in a game. You're going to lose the ball and you're going to be on the back foot. And it's how you communicate and how you adjust. And you see it time and time again. When the opponent's attacking TFC, no one's kind of talking. Everyone's, who's following the ball carrier? Two guys follow the ball. The other guy thinks Bradley thought Osorio was going to take him. Osorio thought Bradley was going to take him. And then the ball's in the back of the net from a softy type of goal from Clint Irwin. He'll look at that and go, I got to do better on that. But the whole entire play, the way it breaks down, there's just no communication. There has to be a system in place to these players when they play with each other. And, you know, sometimes it's not always the same formation that's playing. They have to be able to click and know who's going to the ball, who's coming off the ball. It's just something that you have to be, has to be drilled into you, and you don't see it. You don't see it at all.
Yeah, and there's too many defensive mistakes. There's too many defensive miscues. There's too much lackadaisical play going on, quite frankly. You know, there was a moment just before the goal was scored where TFC had the ball and they were trying to move it forward, and five players were in an offside position and walking back. And I was like, I kind of chuckled at it, like, what's going on here, guys? Well, soon after that, you know, there's the turnover in midfield and they get caught.
And it's funny, too, because they didn't have a really, like, it was an offensive-minded lineup, but I said in the last podcast, I'd love to see, they should have scored twice in the first
15 minutes.
I would love to see Ricketts play, and you're like, I don't know, maybe they'll be susceptible at the back, you know, if they're going too much forward. He didn't even start. They didn't have their three offensive players, and look how bad they looked.
Yeah.
So I don't think we could put Ricketts in that starting lineup from what I saw on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean,
it's good in fantasy.
I do like the 3-5-2, though, as in comparison to the 4-4-2 diamond, and I think that's the formation they should use against Philly on Wednesday.
Whatever the formation is, you've seen it when they play three at the back, when they play four at the back. There's just this miscue that the muscle memory, they don't know who's to do what when they're being pressed. They
don't like playing against a high press.
They fall apart when they're caught in transition. That's where you're supposed to have a spine and kind of a backbone that, you know, absorb the pressure when you're getting hit back. They don't have that. It just seems like they're lost. They're kind of like three or four chickens with their heads cut off.
Yeah, and you saw the entire play, the way it broke down. I mean,
it was awful.
Obviously, there's the turnover in midfield, and then Michael Bradley doesn't track the run of Michael Deleu.
Osorio did well to track back. He just left his man because he ran from the other end.
Bradley didn't track Deleu's run, And then even Clint Irwin, it's a bit of a soft goal on him.
Very soft, very soft.
So it was multi-pronged, the first goal. And again, we bring it up not so much because we want to break down this game against Chicago, but it's kind of a theme going into the postseason, and one that, look, TFC have been hard to beat all season long, but earlier in the season, they were hard to beat because you couldn't score on them.
Yeah.
Now they're hard to beat because they keep coming back and at least pulling out a point.
Well, we say it's the theme. We always say individual errors, and I think we're wrong in saying that because it's not anymore. It can't be an individual error when the same situation happens over and over. It's a team error, and that's because they're just not on the same page in transition. They really have to watch that because they love to move forward. But when they get caught, yeah, they look lost.
Yeah, and you look at some of the games that they've struggled in recently. The New York Red Bull game, they struggled in that one. That's a team that plays a high press.
Yes.
The last time they played Philly and their high press, I thought TFC struggled for the first 45 minutes or so of that game. And even Chicago, they played a high press in this game, and it caused TFC problems, especially early on in the game before they kind of ran away with it in the second half.
I want to say one positive, though. If we're going to say one positive, aside from the individual okay. plays and everything, is that they actually came back and won 3 points.
Yeah.
So, like, we spoke about momentum and them, I said it, they should crush in Chicago to get the momentum. They needed a clean sheet. But if you're going to take something out of this victory, is that they came back and won the game.
In 17 games this year, TFC have allowed the first goal. Their record in those games, 1 win, 8 losses, 8 draws.
And majority of those 8 draws came
in the last month or so.
Yeah, exactly.
Like half of them. Dan Racho, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside. We will talk to Kevin Kincaid in just a few minutes. Do want to get your thoughts, one positive, one negative on TFC heading into the postseason. Nick tweets in, he says, spine of the team was much improved this season versus last. Goalkeeper Irwin, center back Moore, Bradley, Will Johnson, and the strikers of Gio and Josie. While Rob tweets in and he says, one positive, they are hosting the game. One negative, have been conceding way too easy of late. So we are definitely in agreement on that, Rob. And yes, I think the positive is, more than anything else, what you learned against Chicago and against Montreal. Sebastian Giovinco's back. He's healthy, and he's looking good.
He looks hungry.
And he looks hungry. And Armando Cooper continues to dazzle with his play.
And they look good together. They're kind of in sync.
You know what?
They're somewhat, like how you said, the same type of player.
Is there any, like, Armando's in the 11 no matter what on Wednesday,
yeah,
right? Okay.
You'd have to say now.
Who's the other guy? To me, it's, if you're going with the 3-5-2, it's either Osorio or it's Will Johnson. And I know Will Johnson was brought into the team for basically this reason and the playoffs and these big type games that he's been in through the course of his career. But how do you take Osorio out of the lineup?
You don't. You have to stick with Osorio.
So you go with the diamond then? I don't like the diamond. It leaves you.
I don't know. You get caught up in the formations a lot, but well, we see the same thing. Whatever formation they play, it's the same type of similar problems. Yeah. So I think the formation is who's healthy and what plays best to you, like how you play better against your opponent. So it'll change from time to time. But I mean, you have to go with Osorio, right? Wouldn't you? Like, what about you? What do you think?
I would say yes, and Will off the bench does provide that experience to try and close out the game if you get a lead. And he is, yeah, he's kind of like your closer. He's your Aroldis Chapman, as producer Emil Delich says in my ear. I did have something I wanted to say to you.
You forgot?
There is some talk down at the Kia training grounds about you, Thomas Michalakos.
Yeah, okay.
And it's mostly because you're never around.
I know. You're lucky to be standing next to me right now.
You're never at the games.
Nope. I stay as far away as I can.
You never come to training.
Nope.
And you just spit your gums out here on the show.
That's all you get.
There are some, and I won't mention any names, mm-hmm, that want an apology from you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well,
because you were extremely off base on your assessment of Armando Cooper.
Oh, was I?
Saying, how is he going to help this team?
Yes. And are you looking for me to apologize? Or are you
I'm telling you what has been said down at the Kia training ground.
Let's drop. First of all, I don't believe anything has been said. I think this is all in your head.
Okay.
Who's talking about me at the Kia training ground? No one.
I'm not going to say it.
I'm going to be very Trump-like. This is all conspiracy from the media. This,
it's not one person. Producer Emil Delich knows it's not one person. Am I right, Bozy? Yeah, you're nodding your head.
So what am I? So say it again. What do you want from me here? Well, let me see if I can.
You know, when Armando Cooper was first taken on loan from Arabe Unido.
Yes, thankfully you said the team. And
people weren't too happy with your assessment of the signing. On the round table with Brendan Dunlop and Danielle Emmanuel, saying how is he going to help, and all those different types of things. He was playing in the Honduran top league,
and it wasn't Honduran. No, it wasn't. Panamanian.
So people are looking for an apology on that.
Well, they're not going to get an apology. What they're going to get is, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know anything about him. People asked me questions. I said what I thought, and I was proven wrong.
Okay.
End of story.
That's good enough. By the way, I know a lot of people don't notice this, but at the south end of BMO Field, there is a collection of flags. And each one of those flags represents all of the different nationalities that are represented on Toronto FC. Mm-hmm. So there is an Iranian flag, there's a Japanese flag, there's an American flag, Italian, French, and obviously Canadian flag. There has not yet been a Panamanian flag put in.
What are you calling, conspiracy?
Well, why haven't they put one in yet? Is Armando Cooper on the team or not?
I don't even know where you're going with this one, but I'm going to let you freak out by yourself.
Well, you want to represent what this team represents and the multiculturalness of this team and the transparency of the team. I can't even say it with a straight face.
No, you're so heated.
You can't go out and buy a $20 flag? Is it because he's on loan? You don't know if he's going to be here next year? Is that why?
You sound like Jerry Seinfeld in the episode of Seinfeld where they're like, you can't be serious because even your anger comes out funny. Like you have a sarcastic tone and you are so trying not to sound that way. You want it to sound serious.
I know it's somewhat sarcastic, so I can't.
Nah, I don't know.
I can't take that out of my head.
I think you believed it.
Before we get to Kevin Kincaid, I do want to hear from GM Tim Bezbachenko on the acquisitions because.
Oh, I thought about Flaggate.
No, you look back at last year, and I should have asked that to the crew today. Maybe I will tomorrow. But I should have asked that to, or I did ask Tim Bezbachenko about the signings this year to St. Ricketts, Armando Cooper, rather than, you know, look back at last year and Hurt Gomez and how that didn't necessarily improve the team. Whereas I think very much so, these two have done that.
Vastly improved.
And
team,
so
yes.
What he learned over the course of his time as GM and how they go about bringing in new players nowadays compared to years past.
Yeah, I think we're always learning. I always go back to one of the DPs, Jermaine Defoe, that we signed in the first year. And I learned and we learned a tremendous amount about player acquisitions and that signing. And I think, you know, a number of teams across the league, who are dipping their toe in the DP waters, learn that that's a completely different animal in terms of what you need to do and the support you need to provide that type of player. But, it's something that you have to do across your roster. There are different factors and elements at every sort of level of player, especially when you're making an acquisition mid-year. We know historically in the league it's very challenging for international players to adapt. Obviously, Toss knows, he's Canadian and knows our league well, but he's never played. Armando Cooper is from the CONCACAF region, so he knows our region, but again, has never played Major League Soccer. So you never want to rely on your midseason acquisitions as your silver bullet. I think they need to just add to the roster that you currently have and a roster that we believed in, and it's a credit to them and their sort of ability to adapt quickly to a very competitive league.
There is a GM, Tim Bezbachenko, and I don't know, like, do you agree that Tos and Armando have been very shrewd signings by this club?
Yeah, because they help.
And they were needed. Like, they needed Tos to come in.
And they're very minor transfers, given the situation. They're very minor transfers, right. Very small. You know, a lot of people, including myself, didn't know who Armando Cooper was or what he was about. But now that you see what he's about and what he does provide to the team, you go, yeah, they're absolutely a success. And that's the one thing that I think Toronto has learned as a franchise in the last 10 years is to pick their moments, their signings properly, because how many bad ones have there been?
I also like the fact that this club and Tim Bezbatchenko is not afraid to throw out the name Jermaine Defoe and recognize how big of a mistake it is.
That's how you learn from it.
And not hide from it and try to make it feel like it never happened.
No, own it.
Which would be stupid of anybody to try.
I like how the club owns it.
Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, this is TFC Pitchside. Still have some tickets to give away. Listen to the entire show and you'll find out how you can win them to Wednesday night's playoff game against the Philadelphia Union. Joining us now on the show is Kevin Kincaid of the Philly Voice. @Kevin_Kincaid is where you can follow him on Twitter, and he does cover these Philadelphia Union. Thanks for doing this again, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, it's a matchup between two teams with a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah, I know you're pretty excited to come up to BMO and freeze a little bit, eh?
Yeah, well, the last time I went up to BMO, I think it was 2012, Aaron Vinter was still the coach, and I think Toronto was 0-9, and they beat Peter Novak's Philadelphia Union 1-0 on a Danny Kuverman's goal. So those are the days, you know?
You're welcome.
So this has kind of been a weird year for the Philadelphia Union. They were great early on, came out guns a-blazing, were scoring goals for fun, and things kind of dried up as the season went along. What happened in the second half to this Union team?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think a lot of things went wrong, but if you kind of put all of it in a nutshell, I think this was probably a team, now that when you look back at it, that was probably overachieving for that early part of the year. You know, punching above their weight with rookies who were contributing, and a young defense that was playing well. Andre Blake was playing out of his mind. Chris Pontius was probably the reclamation project of the year. And, you know, Vince Nogueira was still on the team. He hadn't left at that time. I think they just sort of came out firing on all cylinders, and they kind of took advantage of a lot of teams that, you know, maybe weren't ready or were still kind of finding themselves. You know, Red Bulls didn't start strong. New York City didn't start strong. And then I think as the season went on, the Union defense kind of fell apart a little bit. They lost a couple guys here and there. And there are, well, not a couple guys, but Vince Nogueira, basically. And then you know, the cream just sort of rose to the top in the Eastern Conference. I think Philly kind of regressed to the norm. And so I just think they were punching above their weight.
Heading into the game against TFC, what do you think is the soft spot that Philadelphia is going to look to exploit?
Well, I think that defensively, Toronto hasn't been what they were earlier in the year. You know, after that seven games or whatever on the road to open the year, and the way that Drew Moore and guys were playing, you know, I thought Toronto was clearly the best team in the East and had the best defense in the East, and maybe that's not the case anymore. You know, the last game that these two teams played, that was 4 or 5 weeks ago or whatever it was, you know, obviously it was a little different because Sebastian Giovinco wasn't on the field, but Tranquillo Barneto wasn't on the field either. And, you know, Philly was able to play a defensive-minded lineup and kind of press high and press early and often and try to squeeze Michael Bradley a little bit. And I think, you know, if you can just get numbers in the midfield and kind of choke it out in the midfield a little bit, you saw that Philly was able to hold on to that 1-0 lead for a long time before Toronto finally got that equalizer.
Kevin Kincaid, our guest here on TFC Pitchside, he of the Philly Voice. So, Kevin, we were talking down at Kia Training Ground with Josie Altidore, and since you mentioned that last game, Josie did believe it was a penalty at the end of that game. Did you think the same way?
That's like, you know, I got to be honest, I still play all the time. I play every Saturday in adult leagues, and, you know, I still play pickup games all the time, and I've seen that play come up, you know, numerous times. And I hate that play in general, just as a fan of the game and a player of the game, because it's not, I mean, really, it's right in the middle. You know, when somebody sticks out a leg there, yes, he does strike his leg, but I see Josie just sort of playing for positioning, and I see one guy trying to play the ball, and I see the other guy just trying to stick a leg out and earn a penalty. And whether Josie got hit or not, I think that's not disputable. I mean, he did get hit, but, you know, if he's making a motion towards the ball or if he does touch the ball, I think that's certainly different than, you know, than Ken Tribbett, I think, who it was, you know, clumsying his way into him. I think the ref made the right call, and I'm not saying that as a Philadelphia Union reporter or whatever, but, you know, just as a player who's seen that scenario a couple times, and I just hate it because there's not a great way to approach it, you know?
Yeah, I know. And Ishmael Elfath was already on TFC fans' most wanted list already before that happened. So it didn't really help matters when that came down. But let's get more into the game, really. And first off, injury-wise, where's Philly at right now? Is every, like, we know for TFC, it's kind of the first time this year where everybody's available to coach Greg Vanney. How are things working out for Philly this week?
Well, Josh Yarrow is out. Josh Yarrow, the rookie center back, who actually didn't play at all against Toronto this year. He had two concussions in 15 days, and then after he got cleared by he cleared the concussion protocol, and then he had an MCL sprain last week, so he's out. So that means you guys are going to see Ken Tribbett for the third time this year. Ken Tribbett had a really, really tough game in that first one, the 3-1 loss in Philadelphia, but he played rather well in the game up at BMO a couple weeks back. I think mostly because, they had Warren Cravol and Brian Carroll playing together in the middle. They kind of junked it up in the middle and just added an extra layer of protection to help the center backs out. So you'll see Tribbett again. Depends on how he plays, how Philly goes. He's struggled at times this year, but he's also played well at times. And then Cravol is the other guy. He had a rib injury, and they did scans on him this morning, so they're waiting for those to come back. He may or may not play, but you'll probably see Brian Carroll alongside Alejandro Bedoya. And then Tranquillo Barnetta playing at the 10. You know, last time out up in Toronto, Bedoya was playing the 10 when he scored that chip. And that's the only time he's played in the number 10 this year. So you guys will probably see a different look.
What's going on with CJ Sapong? I know there are kind of weird or polarizing, I guess, is the right word. Some people think he's a great number 9 and he does a lot of things well. The goals have kind of dried up for him lately. Where's he at right now, and how does he fit into the attack as this Union team has tried to find goals late in the season?
Yeah, well, it's a bit of everything. You know, he's a target man, and he's never been a great goal scorer. You know, his record, his career high is 9 goals. You know, we thought he was going to eclipse that this year, and he's been stuck on 7 for 2 months now. Part of the reason is that he's getting not a ton of service up top, but he's also not finishing the little bit of service that he gets. He went 4 straight games without a shot on goal. Which is, you know, pathetic for your lone striker on the field. And I know they play a certain way. They're a defense-first kind of team. They like to press, but he's just not a guy who's going to turn, take on a defender, create his own shot. You know, that's just not what he is. And then that's why they've relied on the midfield to score a ton of goals this year. You know, Alberg, Pontius, both have more goals than Sapong, and Alberg's barely been on the field at all. So a little bit of confidence, it's a little bit of style play, a little bit of him getting isolated up top there on an island. And it's a little bit of him just not being good enough.
Pound for pound, Andre Blake is probably one of the best keepers in the league, if not the best, depending on who you talk to. Now, can a goalkeeper be your X factor? Because we all know Jovinko is TFC's X factor. Could he keep you in a game and practically win it for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's what he did earlier in the season. You know, he was pulling off some stuff that was spectacular, you know? And a lot of reason why he was leading the league in saves and why he was doing what he was doing is because the defense was allowing a ton of shots, you know? So, you know, when you allow that many shots, you give your goalkeeper an opportunity to look more spectacular, right? And to make more saves and to compile more numbers. But, you know, you can turn the tide. A goalkeeper can turn the tide just as much as a goal scorer can turn the tide. You know, scoring one goal is the same as preventing one goal, you know? I mean, the differential is the same going in two different directions. So, I mean, he's a big part of why they are where they are this year. If you go back and watch his first 10 games, you know, he saved at least probably one surefire goal per game. You know, Andre Blake is good for at least an 8 goal swing, I think, for this team. And I'm not even kidding. That's how good he was at the beginning of the year. So yeah, if he pulls off if he plays that way in this game, then he'll keep him in it. But I don't think he's going to stick around for much longer. I think he's probably going to be sold in the offseason just because his value isn't going to get any higher, and his Generation D's contract is going to run out eventually. So,
yeah, tough times. Off seasons are always a lot of fun, and both teams are going to have interesting off seasons between these two, Philly and Toronto. But looking at the MVP nominee list, did you get chosen? Do you get to make a vote? And if you want to, I guess you don't get to vote for Philly. Vote for Philly. Kevin, so give us your Philly MVP. The nominees here are Blake. I think you're leaning that way. Chris Pontius and Tranquillo Barnetta are the other two.
Yeah, I don't get to vote for anything. I think I've been too critical of MLS headquarters over the years, so they just kind of ignore me down here. But that's what you get for telling the truth. But anyway, no, I mean, it would have to be Pontius, you know. Just because of the way that I mean, where would they be without his goals right now? You can point to Blake as having kept them in a lot of games this year, but Pontius, from start to finish, the reclamation project that he was, and everybody thought he was cooked, you know, playing the way that he played this year was amazing, you know, and if they didn't have him on the field, I don't know where they would be right now. Goalkeeper, you know, as much as I like Andre Blake, I think that's the one position that we produce here in the United States, you know, U.S. and Canada, that yeah, that we can do domestically, and so I think they'll be okay to replace Andre Blake, but you know, Chris Pontius, I don't know if he can replicate what he did this year.
As far as a game plan goes for this game against TFC, Philadelphia has not won since August. I think it's been a while. But as for TFC, you know, the defense hasn't been nearly as good. 10 goals given up in their last 6 matches. Do we think Jim Curtin kind of sits back, goes in that high press again, tries to, you know, force TFC into a mistake, kind of like they did last time here at BMO Field?
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to have to do, even if the personnel is going to be different. I mean, this time, instead of Crivell, see, it's interesting because you guys know Warren Crivell. He's more of a defensive-minded guy, and so when they play him as a number 8, he can sort of roam the midfield and just destroy it. You know, whereas Alejandro...
Yeah, we only really saw him as a right back here in Toronto, and that that didn't go well.
Okay, well, maybe he's not a great wide defender in space, but he does. He's good. He's good at garbaging up the middle of the field, you know, and because of that, that creates turnovers, and that wins you the ball in good spots, but he's not a good passer of the ball. Alejandro Bedoya is somewhere in between. And then when you have Tranquillo Barneta running up top, he's a guy, he's a pressing number 10. He's not like a Mauro Diaz number 10 who's going to slice you open with a great pass. He's a bulldog kind of guy who gets better as the game goes on. So I think that's what you do. I just think you try to collapse Michael Bradley and you just try to junk up the middle of the field and make it as ugly of a game as possible. Try to get a turnover or two. And then, you saw what happened last time. They had a 1-goal lead going into the later stages of the game and they couldn't really sustain it. But that's probably the best way to do it because you're not going to beat the star power of Josie and Jovinko and also very good role players for Toronto in a straight-up contest on the road. It's just not going to work that way.
Yeah, both teams. I mean, TFC could say all they want to me and how they feel good going into the playoffs. I mean, they've only beaten Chicago. Their last 2 wins have come against Chicago. So they haven't really beat the highest competition as of yet. In this latest stretch run, though, of course, Jovinko was hurt for most of that. Before we let you go, you got a prediction on hand for this first ever playoff game at BMO Field?
Yeah, I'll say 2-1 Toronto. I think it'll play out much like the last game that we watched up there, where Philly comes out and just tries to bulldog it, and they'll try to make the game as ugly as possible, try to negate Michael Bradley and keep him from moving the ball around. But I think the quality of TFC is just going to sort of rise to the top. I don't see this team. I think there's a lot more pressure on Toronto playing at home now, and they actually had expectations coming into the season where I don't think Philly really had high expectations at all. So I could certainly see there being a lot of pressure on Toronto to perform in this game. But again, that's just an outsider's perspective. You guys would know better than me. But I think it'll be tied in the second half, and I think Toronto just has too much quality to move away.
Yeah, they're kind of putting it on themselves a little bit. There's going to be a big march to the match and everything, and there's going to be a concert prior to the game. They're kind of making it feel like it's MLS Cup final or something. Maybe putting the cart before the horse a little bit too much.
Well, that's kind of, you know, the John Hackworth Philadelphia teams were good at, you know, going on the road with nothing to play for and kind of being spoilers. And Jim Curtin's team didn't do that this year. They're really good at home, but you know, now they find themselves in that role where they don't really have much to play for. And if they nicked something on the road, then whatever. I don't know. That's a good way for a Philly team to go into a game as being an underdog, because we don't win much of anything down here.
Hey, Kevin, I really appreciate you doing this today. We'll see you up here on Wednesday.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
There is Kevin Kincaid. Again, you can find him at Kevin_Kincaid on Twitter. Still tickets to give away. Keep listening to the show. We'll tell you how you can win them. And the game is Wednesday, so you need to do this quickly. Plus, we'll hear from Greg Vanney and the lessons learned from last year in Montreal in that horrifying loss to the Impact in TFC's first ever playoff appearance. Dan Racho, Thomas Michalakos, TFC Pitchside.
Serve your right to suffer. Serve your right to be alone. Serve your right to suffer. Serve your right to be alone. Because you're still living the day gone back and gone.
Follow the guys on Twitter at DanRiccio590 and at UnfitRef.
Serve you like a supper. 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 where you're at your home. Serve you like a supper. Serve you right your home.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio, and you're listening to TFC Fishside.
Barnes asking for it. Bolaños to the outside. It's blocked. Stabbed away only as far as Pedro Morales. He rips wide. Oh, what a goal! Cascadia Cup.
Carl, I guess the first question is, where was that all year?
Yeah, good question. If you could give me the answer, then please do.
Oh, Robbo, we love you. That is Vancouver Whitecaps manager Carl Robinson after a big 4-1 win for Vancouver over Portland as they knocked Portland out of playoff contention. Both Columbus and Portland, last year's MLS Cup finalists, not in the postseason this year.
What does that say about the league to you?
Parity. Like, there's a lot of fluctuation. Like, you know, there's a couple of teams that have been good for a long time, like LA and the Red Bull and Real Salt Lake always seem to be in the mix. And
FC Dallas.
Seattle, obviously. It's kind of like the NFL in that sense, where you have a few teams that always seem to be in the mix there. But everywhere else, it just kind of fluctuates.
But here, it's just like, see, these teams in the NFL maybe are in the mix, but they don't, like, these, we're talking MLS Cup champions.
Yeah.
Right? And then they're not in the playoffs next year.
Okay, so Carolina Panthers, 1-5 after making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm saying that's crazy, too.
Yeah, so I kind of view it in that sense. It's kind of like the NFL, where you have the well-run teams that are always in the mix there, and then there's kind of everybody else that get it right sometimes and they don't, and they go on a run here and there. And that's just the way it is. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side. So congrats to Vancouver on winning the Cascadia Cup. You get nothing else this year. You lose to TFC in the Canadian Championship Final, and they're still in CONCACAF Champions League. So good for them.
They can have the Trillium Cup too, if they want, because we don't want it.
Yeah. So like I saw a picture and like David Edgar's like, They're lifting up the Cascadia Cup, and David Edgar, the expression on his face is just like,
you get nothing.
I thought we were out of the playoffs. What
did
is
we,
did
we somehow,
win something?
Did we
what,
somehow
why, what is this trophy?
Make the playoffs? And I didn't know about it.
So that's always funny. Speaking of the playoffs, TFC Wednesday night, Philadelphia Union. We do have tickets to give away. We'll tell you how in just a second. Greg Vanney, though, talked about last year's playoff loss to Montreal and the lessons learned from that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think we didn't manage the start very well. We, a couple early mistakes. I think their early pressure came out and got us a little bit, and we were, you know, maybe behind it quicker than we had expected. And then, you know, it wasn't very long into the game where we found ourselves in a pretty big hole that we were trying to dig ourselves out of. So maybe it was, as a group, maybe a little naive. You know, we go into the playoffs and things are ramped up a little bit. You've got to be prepared for the start of the game to be emotional and be fast. And teams might vary their strategy because of the magnitude of the game one way or another. And you got to be ready for it and smart. And so, like I said, it's a veteran group. And, last year's experience is something that we have to take note of. Put it behind us, but take note of it and make sure when we come out on Wednesday night that we have the right mindset as we go into the game. I think, you know, sometimes in these playoff games, there's a certain percentage of it is just managing the emotion and getting into the game so that the game settles down and you start to just play soccer as it is, as you do all the time. And that's half the battle. I think everybody over the course of the year, you kind of know what you're going to do from a tactical standpoint. Everybody knows their roles. Everybody knows that. But now it's just all of a sudden the tension kicks up a little bit and guys have to be able to maintain what they're supposed to do in those moments.
There it is. Greg Vanney at the KTG Today playoff media day for the Reds. What I picked up early pressure from Montreal in that game. And it's like the blueprint is still there on how you get to TFC. And it hasn't really changed all that much.
No, the answers are staring TFC's opponents right in the
face. How do they deal with the early pressure? How do they deal with counterattacks? Do they commit too many players forward? It's a one-game playoff. You have to be cautious. What Philly's going to try and do is get that first goal and sit on it.
What happens if Philly wins this game? How do you see
it? It's a disaster.
Like, how much of a
TFC
disaster?
Pitch side poll question was, is this season already a success? Largely, what you have said, you the listener, is they have to win. They have to win this game for this season to be a success against Philadelphia on Wednesday. 10% of you say only if they win MLS Cup, and 11% of you say yes, it has already been a success.
Well, it goes without saying they have to win this game because this is where they lost last year, just on the road.
Yep.
So for it to be successful, yes, they'd have to make it to the next round.
I mean, it's hard to say without knowing how the game plays out. I mean, you could feel hard done by a refereeing decision in the game, and then it doesn't feel as much of a failure, whereas, you know, you lose 3-0 or something and you completely capitulate, and then you're like, yeah, this is a failure.
Are you worried, seeing what they did with Chicago? I mean, Chicago's the worst team in the league, but are you worried if they do go down early?
No, not so much.
No? No. Did it ease your...
They can come back.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is one team that is, they are still hard to beat. They are one of the hardest teams to beat in Major League Soccer. They showed that over the course of the year, only losing 9 times, which was only bested by the LA Galaxy, Colorado Rapids, Seattle. No, not Seattle. FC Dallas. But looking at the other playoff matchups, Thomas, actually, let's talk about MVPs first. Because we do have the MVP list here, and obviously for TFC, it's Michael Bradley, Sebastian Giovinco, Jozy Altidore. Technically, you don't get a vote for your hometown team, so we can't pick any of the Toronto players. So, who would you pick as your MVPs? You get 2 choices outside of Toronto players.
Well, right off the bat, I'm going to go with the obvious, Bradley Wright Phillips and David Villa. The only reason I'm going... David Villa. The only reason why I'm going... with those two is their teams. They have 24 and 23 goals respectively.
Yeah.
Take those goals out of both those teams are in the minuses. They're not, how many of those goals were match winners?
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm going that, because my opinion, Giovinco is and should be the MVP for a second consecutive year.
Yeah, I would say first up for me, Nacho Piatti. Without him, Montreal's nowhere near the postseason. And maybe not numbers wise, he doesn't stack up against the Giovincos and Bradley Wright Phillips, but in terms of most valuable to his team, without Piatti, where is Montreal? I'm not sure they're anywhere close to a postseason spot. And number 2 for me would be Nico Lodero of the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, he's the savior.
I don't know exactly where they were when he showed up, but they just fired Siggy Schmid.
8 points
out. They were 8 points out or something. They were like 9th in the Western Conference, maybe even 10th. And now look at them. They're 4th and they're hosting a playoff game.
They made the playoffs by 4 points.
Yeah, exactly. They made
12 points.
They made the playoffs before decision day. It was an incredible rise for the Seattle Sounders. And much like DC in the East, they look like 2 of the hottest teams that could maybe carry this run into the postseason. So the game's going. Actually, there is one person we got to mention.
Yeah,
Joe freaking Bendix on this list. What?
When we saw it, though, we both saw it. What?
Shame.
Shame to you, MLS. You could Shame. Not find Antonio Nocerino would have been a better Shame. Player.
I just
to put on this list than Joe Bendix.
One thing, okay. I get they had to pick
Julio
a player.
Baptista.
I get, yeah, okay, take him. If you have to take 3 for 14, because just look at it like this, okay?
Put Ishmael Elfath on Orlando's list for that win he gifted them against TFC in early summer.
Everything reads like this. Orlando City, 60 goals conceded, worst in the MLS.
Yep.
Joe Bendix was in net for every single game. How is he on the MVP list?
He made some great saves this year.
Oh, great saves.
Great saves.
But the 60 balls that went behind him, you know, we'll let those pass.
Everybody else's fault. Joe Bendix listed on the MVP nominee.
Nothing personal. Well, maybe.
That's great. That is absolutely great. I think he's the only other former TFC player to be on that list. All right. So got that off our chest. As for the other playoff matchup, so Wednesday, TFC against Philadelphia at BMO Field, 7:30 start. Wednesday night, 10:30, it is LA Galaxy against Real Salt Lake.
Could be Jared's last game in a Galaxy uniform.
It could very well be before he shows up back with Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool. Also, Thursday, 7:30 start in D.C. at RFK Stadium. It's D.C. United hosting Montreal. The Impact have never won at D.C. They are 3-0-3 for their all-time record at D.C. So we'll see if they can get there first. Would be a big one on Thursday against D.C. United. And also, it's Seattle hosting Sporting Kansas City. 10 o'clock start on Thursday night, October 27th. There are your single elimination playoff games. Also, if TFC win, they will play New York City FC on Sunday, October 30th at BMO Field. And then November the 6th, they will be at New York at Yankee Stadium. So that's how it plays out, the playoff schedule, if TFC should get through past the Philadelphia Union on Wednesday. One other note about the Philadelphia Union, Thomas.
Yes.
On 42 points, I believe they have the lowest point total of any playoff team since MLS expanded to 34 games.
So that's another positive for TFC fans.
Assuming they win, which they very well should.
That's what I mean.
All right, so I guess we got to give away the tickets now? Yeah? Okay. So if you've been listening to the entire show, which we hope you have because we told you at the beginning, you will have a chance to win tickets. What we will do is email me, dan.riccio, R-I-C-C-I-O.
Don't email me.
At sportsnet590.ca. That is dan.riccio at sportsnet590.ca. Tell me which former TFC player was listed as an MVP nominee.
Shame.
And we gave him the shame bell here on TFC Pitch Side. So if you tell me that, which former TFC player made the MVP nominee list?
First person to do that.
And we gave him the shame bell. We will give you tickets to go to TFC against the Philadelphia Union Wednesday night at BMO Field. By the way, if you miss out on the tickets, as of earlier today, there was still about 10,000 remaining because it's a real short turnaround as to when, you know, you find out when the game is going to be, who it's going to be against, and when it happens. So there's still plenty of available if you should want to go down.
Yeah, look for the show to be the show to come out too, right? Because how long are we going to put that
out? Yeah, we'll be out Monday night.
Yeah, because first person to email Riccio gets those tickets.
All right. So first person up gets the tickets.
Time stamp.
You get to go to BMO Field. Watch TFC's first ever playoff game at home. Yes, it is year number 10. But nonetheless.
Free tickets.
Better late than never. Also, lots of festivities. The Trues are playing down at the Budweiser King Patio. I'm Dan Riccio. He's Thomas Michalakos. Thanks to Kevin Kincaid for joining us. Thanks to all of TFC for having playoff media day. Thanks to Tej Sahota, who gave our producer, Emil Delich, some ticks to go to the game against the Chicago Fire on Wednesday or on Sunday.
Shouldn't we be giving tickets to the fans, not the other way around?
I mean, when the Gardner's closed and you just can't make your way down, or it's just too much of an inconvenience your way down.
I totally get why you didn't make it
down. So Tej gave us tickets. Now we're giving back. Wednesday.
Paying it forward.
Paying it forward, as we like to do here on TFC Pitch Side. So again, which former TFC player was an MVP nominee and we gave him the shame bell, or we gave MLS the shame bell for even listing MLS. Him as a nominee. Which player is he? And tell me that, dan.riccio at sportsnet590.ca, and we'll let you go down to BMO on Wednesday night. Should be a lot of fun. I'll see you down there. Thomas, I will not see you down there, but I will maybe. No, even producer Bozy's not going to be there. He's going to be at Raptors. But in any case, oh, he is going to be down there? All right, sweet. He's doing the BMO thing.
You got a date.
Big time. TFC Pitch Side. Also, one last thing. There's been a lot of news about Michael Bradley lately. We'll talk more about that when the season is over. I'll leave that as a little teaser.
Good teaser.
Ooh, and one more thing that I've seen. The news just never stops on TFC pitch side. Baldomero Toledo is going to referee TFC's first ever home playoff game, which comes against the Philadelphia Union on Wednesday night. Holy Toledo. Dan Riccio, Thomas Michalakos, TFC pitch side. I don't need love, I'm the GOAT. I just hit the beat and float. And I'm selling out arenas, but you putting on a show. I've been trying to change life around for everyone I know. Cause if I don't share the wealth, then how the fuck you supposed to grow? My I'm stressed, there's a lot of things we need. Chain smoking in the house, it's hard to breathe. I used to had to hit my T's with Febreze. Jordan pull up in the TL, now I'm cheese. I'ma turn this TSX into a Benz soon. I'ma see a lot of blessings from my friends soon. 150 inch screen in my bedroom. 6'1", man, I see no living in a room. Man, it's been the same like before. They don't even wanna look up at the score. FaceTime with my shorty on tour. And she texting purple hearts cause she know that we a war, yeah. To get keep reaching and dissing. Can't afford mistakes and I don't listen. Let me call my bros for assistance. Let me call my bro.
You may have seen, Josie, that Kai Kamara got yellow carded for his goal celebration yesterday. I guess it was a modified twerk, I guess.
Twerk. You're a striker. You make your living scoring goals. What do you think about sort of being sanctioned for celebration?
I don't know. I mean, it depends, I guess, what it is, really. Twerking, I wouldn't twerk. That's not for me.
Teach his own, I guess.
Fair enough.